O God, who made us and loved us, who still loves us, and gave us Christ, we give you thanks this joyous day for the greatest of your gifts, that Christ is risen, and he shares the risen life with us. His Easter victory changed the world. As we offer you all the prayers and songs of gladness that the human heart can bring forth, may we leave this place as a resurrected people, alive for you, our Creator, by living the good news of our Savior's resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that a little yeast leavens all the dough? Clear out the old yeast, so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our Paschal Lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, and with the burial cloths but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived first, at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good to see so many of you here. I would like to, of course, welcome all of you, especially those who might be visiting or those who might be joining us for the very first time. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. That's what we were singing in our responsorial psalm. Why? Because Easter changes everything. Easter changes death into life, darkness into light. That's what the scriptures remind us of. There is a story of a middle-aged man who was vacationing on a cruise ship, in the Caribbean islands. And the first day, he wanted to get to know the ship, so he walked on different decks. And on the top deck, he met this woman that was sitting in the deck chair, and she gave him this big, friendly smile. But he continued on. And then the second day, the same thing happened. He met her, she gave him a big, friendly smile, and he continued on his journey. The third day, the same thing happened. So finally, later that day, he met her in the dining room and asked her if he could sit at the table with her since she was alone. And he asked her, "Why do you always give me a big friendly smile when you see me?" And she said with a smile, "Well, because you look like my third husband." And and he asked her, "And how many times have you been married?" "Twice," she said. So that story is an example of high hopes. But today we celebrate the reason for our highest hope. The reason for our highest hope is Jesus' resurrection. His death and resurrection, without them, we wouldn't be here, none of us. There would be no Christianity or anything like that. So today we celebrate the very foundation of who we are and why we are here. To live as God's resurrected people. To reflect that Jesus is risen and still lives among us. That it wasn't just some event that happened 2,000 years ago, but something that is occurring daily in our lives. And it was difficult for the early followers of Jesus, of course, to grasp the meaning of it. In fact, we heard that when Mary of Magdala discovered the tomb, she was scared. First thought, she didn't have the thought that Jesus rose from the dead. She was scared, thinking that somebody took his body, that he was missing, that somebody stole his body. In fact, that was the story that circulated among many. And some people still don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. We know that. But we do. We believe that. And that changes everything. Life into death. Darkness into light. Especially in difficult moments. We know how the belief in the resurrection can lift us up when we lose a loved one. When we struggle with different things. The resurrection is such a pillar in our faith life. So we heard that Mary of Magdala went and told Peter and John, and they wanted to see, is it really true? So they both ran, as we heard, to the tomb. And sure enough, the tomb was empty. So yes, the tomb of Jesus is empty, but our lives are not. Think of it this way. In Egypt, in the Great Pyramids, many important leaders of the Egyptian culture are buried. In the Westminster Abbey in London, many British nobles are buried. In Arlington National Cemetery, many of our heroes are buried. But Jesus' tomb is empty. But as I said, our lives are not. Christ fills them with so much good, so much power to change the world around us. And it was difficult for the early Christians. Think of this, 50% of their income was taxed. There was famine, severe famine in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem. And they lived under a heavy oppression of the Roman Empire. This is the situation in which they lived. And yet, they changed the world around them. They were that new yeast that St. Paul talks about in our second reading. The new yeast that transformed the dough, transformed the world, the culture around them. How did they do it? The resurrected power of Christ was in them, and they transformed that power into their daily living. Yes, they told, they preached, but most importantly, they lived the message of Christ. In fact, during the Easter season, we will frequently hear that Jesus told them, go and tell the world, baptize and teach. That was his commissioning. He still gives us that same commissioning. Go and tell. By the lives that you live, the resurrected lives. So I would call your attention to the vine and the branches. During this season of Lent, we had only dead leaves on it, reminding us of things that enslave us, sins, bad habits, and things like that. But now, with Easter, there is new life. On the vines, there are grapes, there are butterflies. Butterflies, as you may know, is the oldest symbol for the resurrection of Christ. Reminding us, this is what and who we are called to be. Attached to Christ, the vine, we bear fruit, good fruit that nourishes, that gives life, that brings joy. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Not just today, but every day from now on, living as God's resurrected people. There is a story of a grandmother who was reading the Bible to her little granddaughter, and she wanted to introduce her, you know, to the stories in the Bible, the important stories. So she was reading her the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. So it was getting late, so she wanted eventually to stop. So the last thing that she told her, or she read from the Bible, was how Jesus' body, that body, was placed in the tomb, and the stone was rolled to cover the entrance. And then she closed the book, and the little girl looked at her, and she asked, "And then, what happened?" In a sense, Easter invites us to ask, "And then what happens to you, to me, to every one of us? What happens after today, after this celebration? Will it be reflected in our lives? Will the power of the resurrection be visible in what we do, how we think, what we say to one another?" The early church accomplished incredible things. They had everything against them, all the odds, but with Christ, with that new yeast in them, look what they did. We are here because of their witness. So let's make sure that we provide the same witness that the world needs today, especially for younger generations, for our neighbors, for our friends, our co-workers. What do resurrected lives look like today in our homes, in our workplaces? Think about that. Ask that question. What do I need to do to reflect Christ's resurrection? Again, let us remember, light was replaced darkness. Life replaced death. That's what needs to be happening more and more. So let us rejoice and be glad. And let us remember how much Jesus has done and still is doing for us. Let us rejoice and be glad. And most importantly, be deeply, deeply thankful.
Thanks for listening to this week's service. To stay up to date on the latest news involving our parish, please visit our website at goodshepherd-sc.org.